Good morning and welcome to the breakfast show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lasso. This is the right table for you to start your day with positive thoughts and solid spiritual foods. You're listening all across Australia on 88.7, 88.8 or 88 depending on where in this beautiful country you are. Of course, you can also listen to us on the Faith FM app. Did you know that you don't even need to sign up for the app? You can just play and go.
Just jump on and press play.
Play and go. We want to hear your thoughts. If you have any comments, if you have any reactions to the things that Lawson says, send a message to 0491-064-669. Today is Thursday, April the 18th. The time now is 7:05 a.m., Lawson, and I am in the studio today with Brian and Shell, the producers, plus the only, the magnificent, the incredible Lawson Walters. Yay! Yeah. Can I get, like the applause effect here? Applause effect, applause effect. Press the button there. Lawson, it's great to be here with you on the show, sharing the decks.
I'm grateful to be
and
here.
And asking the questions.
I'm grateful. I'm happy on this beautiful Thursday morning. I woke up and it's getting a bit chilly. In the morning, even though it's like a clear sky, sunny morning, like it's more and more like I'm just wearing shorts and a t-shirt right now, and I'm like, oh, this is getting less and less appropriate, which is for me personally,
I think it's appropriate from a moral perspective, from a weather perspective. Yeah,
from we're talking weather.
You know,
here.
We are supposed to give positive thoughts to the listener, but listen to this, Lawson. The greatest want of the world is the want of men and women. Men and women who will not be bought or sold. Men and women who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men and women who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men and women whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. And I'll continue later. Ladies and gentlemen, and we will be talking today about second chances. We'll be talking today about the teen that stabbed the bishop who has been said to have been poisoned by social media. We're going to have an interview with Jeremy Dixon with tons of ideas for winter hot pots now that it's starting to cool down. And of course, in our Bible study, we'll be talking about human reason versus divine reason. Stay tuned. You cannot miss today's show.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Lawson, I'll have to tell you this thing. Before we even jump into the quiz, I could not complete my thought of the day.
Okay.
We live in the dictatorship of time on radio. Listen, you do not know how brutal it is. When the music comes, the music
chronology,
comes.
That's powerful.
They don't wait for you. And for someone like me that likes to speak until
deep.
The cows come home,
that's deep.
It is so excruciatingly hard. However, I will be given the dignity of finishing the thought, especially because there's only 10 words missing. I was talking about men and women whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men and women who will stand for the right though the heavens fail.
Yes.
That's from Ellen G. White, the book Education.
I love
the
that
greatest
quote.
Want of the world
as the needle to
people
the
like
pole.
You and me and the listener that is hearing us this morning.
Absolutely. God is wanting to work in our lives and enable us to be blessings to others. And hey, look, I've got some quiz questions here and books coming from it about people, books that you could win today.
Okay.
We're going to spin the wheel.
Spill their beans.
People who are as true to duty as a needle to the pole. I'll get into that in a second. But hey, here we go. What city was Jesus traveling to when he met the woman at the well? Where was he traveling to? Was it A, Joppa, B, Jericho, C, Sychar, or D, Caesarea? Hey, again, that question was, what city was Jesus traveling to when he met the woman at the well? A, Joppa, B, Jericho, C, Sychar, or D, Caesarea? Guys, we have amazing prizes, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars by Suki Gunatilleke. These books are all about incredible people who stood for the faith during the era and the period of the Reformation, those who would stand for biblical truth, who would even give their lives. And again, when we talk about as true to duty as a needle to the pole, it's like this is an A1 example of that.
And we spoke a lot about the first book the book The Sisters in Arms, talking about women who made history, who made the difference. But the second book, Bright as Stars, is that the name of the book?
As Bright as the Stars.
As Bright as the Stars. This is actually a fantastic book. It tells how the reformers learned what they learned from the previous reformers and how that helped them to inform the next reform. In other words, how they were passing the baton of truth and of light. It's an incredible book. Again, this is aimed not only to increase your faith, but to make sure that you are the most the most interesting person in the room, wherever you go. Listen, before I have to say something about the quiz. Yesterday, I was playing Bible quiz with my kids, just like Faith FM. And I was giving them a little cashew nut if they got the answers right.
Oh, that's cute.
They enjoyed playing that so much. They wouldn't want me to stop. So there you go. There's an idea here for you to do with your small ones at home today. You will know the answer. You'll know the question. So 0491-064-669. What city was Jesus traveling to when he met the woman at the well?
And of course, if you train up your kids in Bible trivia, that is a green flag for the rest of their future. You know, as they grow up, and you know, as they come to a place, like I'll just say it like this: there is nothing as a Christian as attractive as someone who knows the Word of God. And if they're trained up in what the Bible says, hey, we've got my good friend Brian, he's like fist pumping to that. Like we agree here in the studio. You have the opportunity to make your kids more attractive by training them up in what the Bible says. And also yourself. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show. Maybe you're single this morning. You're listening. You're like, man, what do I need to do? Hey, get to know the Word of God. You're listening to The Breakfast Show.
Hit on Lawson. He is a committed person at the moment to all you ladies out there. Now, Lawson, talk us through second chances.
Second chances.
Who doesn't want a second chance?
Did you know, and it's sad that I'm only finding this out 18 days into April, but did you know that April in the United States is a National Second Chances Month?
No, I didn't know that. So, I didn't even know that there was such a thing.
You know, there's lots of months and lots of days that represent lots of things from lots of different
people. I know that in Australia, this is Autism Awareness Month.
That's right. So I'm speaking specifically more about the United States here, but it's National Second Chances Month, in which, you know, people are just, you know, highlighting the fact that although you can make mistakes and fall get into all kinds of trouble and situations, there are second chances that can be had, and there is redemption that can come from that. Now,
okay, tell me more about it. That's
all
interesting.
All over America, and particularly across a couple of the states, Florida, Kentucky, Washington, D.C., and whatnot, there are churches that are holding job fairs under the banner of this Second Chances Month.
Job fairs?
Job fairs specifically for people who have been incarcerated or have just in general found a hard time finding work and whatnot.
Yes.
And it's like really legit. Like they're bringing employers from various companies all around the cities that they're in to come along with the intention of finding people who are looking for work. And the focus is specifically for those who have been through, rough situations. And again, like we're talking about those who have been incarcerated. So often self-inflicted rough situations that, you know, but those who are looking to redeem their lives, who are looking to move forward with their lives and to start anew and to start afresh. And this is amazing because obviously,
Because there's a lot of prejudice against inmates. There is that stigma that stays.
Yeah.
Well, you have been a criminal. You have been convicted in the past. Mm. How can I even trust you? But people can change, can't they, Lawson?
Yeah. And I think it's important to recognize, like, I don't think that maybe stigma is ever good, but caution is certainly, you know, if someone, like, I wouldn't, if I was owning a business and someone was an offender, but then they, like, secretly or maybe outwardly, they were a repeat offender and they were going to, you know, do some harmful things to my employees and my business, like, I would be wary and cautious of that. But it's really amazing that the churches are the ones that are linking the incarcerated, previously incarcerated people with these job fairs and whatnot. not, because they're looking for, like, the church is doing the work of helping these inmates rehabilitate, helping them to find redemption, helping them to overcome their struggles and their situation and their circumstance and move away from their previous life of crime. And this job fair, this second chances job fair, is just like that next step on that road of, hey, this person is rehabilitating. I think that this is an amazing, powerful initiative. I think it works to solve a lot of the problems that come with being incarcerated. You know, there's a huge, and they've shown this statistically, there's a huge amount of previous inmates or former convicts who end up homeless because they can't find work because of their history, and particularly in the United States, where you don't have that safety net of, you know, there is unemployment and whatnot, but, you know, it's not as comprehensive as Australia. The homelessness crisis in the United States is just enormous. And so enabling these people to be able to get back on their feet and make something of their life after incarceration.
Yeah, that is powerful. I think that's a great thing, that people deserve a second chance. But I also think that that second chance should be considered of a second change of heart.
Mm.
Because if you have the same heart and the same attitude that caused you trouble in the first place,
trouble will
how
fall.
Well are you going to take that second
trouble
chance?
Trouble will fall.
Well, I'll tell you a story. Mm. I had a friend, and that was back in Brazil, and he had been incarcerated. Mm. He was working with the organized crime, and he was in jail for a good long time.
Mm.
But in jail, God spoke to him.
Wow.
He learned about Jesus. One day he was there. He was supposed to be locked up for many, many years. And then he had that in the middle of the night, this voice talking to him saying, I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to give you another chance. The next morning, someone came, a prosecutor or something, and they said, okay, we cannot keep you in jail anymore. You have to get out. And he made that commitment, says, you know, God, if you take me out of this jail, I will give my life to you.
Wow.
And he gave. And he became a disciple of love.
Wow.
He would not bear the resemblance between the man he was before and the man he was now. But the catalyst of the transformation in his life was Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And he stayed true to that.
Yeah.
To the time that we were friends. And man, I'm glad that I had that experience.
Yeah. And so I really love what these churches are doing. Like, they're part of that step to practically help these inmates, but also, again, working for their redemption, being there to receive those who are being called by Christ, which is all of us. Oh, God sends conviction to all of us. And these churches are responding, but also giving them a direction and a path forward. It's powerful stuff.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And we have another quiz to our listeners. Lawson, what is quiz number two?
The quiz question number two. Here we go. It's simply a fill in the blank. Jonah said, yet 40 days and blank shall be overthrown. Hey, what'll be overthrown? If you know the answer, 0491-064-669 again. Yet 40 days and blank shall be overthrown.
Okay, so we're looking for the name of a place here.
That's right. Hey, 0491-064-669. Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars by Suki Gunatalaki is our prizes for these week. Amazing, awesome stories coming from the Reformation of people standing for their faith. And we were just talking a little bit about that quote, actually, from Ellen White, as true to duty as needle to the pole. The point that's being made there, it's like a needle. It's talking about a compass, actually. Like
Brian, why don't you tell us?
Compass needle.
Yeah, Brian was telling us a great insight that he had on that quote. What was it, Brian, again?
Yeah, so you're wanting to follow the needle wherever it's going, and normally, you know, you get turned about, it's always going to be pointing to the magnetic north that you want to go. But sometimes in life, it's a bit like our spiritual journey. As we're walking along, we might hit a rough patch, a magnetic anomaly. Maybe there's metal in the ground or something, and it's spinning around. It's not pointing to true north anymore. And that is when you're orienteering, when you need to be looking forward and seeing how God led in the past and walking by faith to navigate, rather than trusting in what the current circumstances are appearing necessarily to be, and just building that faith. And you had something to add to that as well. I really appreciate it.
Yes. I was saying, like, when I was in the army, when we were doing orienteering, we had to give our rifles to someone else because the rifles, it was made of metal. It was strong enough to divert the needle a little bit, a few inches. So what happens was we give. So my question is, could it be that in our lives we carry things that are also affecting our moral pole, our moral compass from God, that are things that are distracting us and that are making perhaps our conscience dull or just making it hard to discern the voice of God? Well, what should we do with them? Can we get rid of them so that we can recalibrate? And so I love it. Thanks, Brian. What a great application.
Spoken like a true outdoor recce and an army guy. Hey, I am. I guess I'm less experienced with compasses than you blokes. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. Again, that question was, 40 days and blank shall be overthrown. 0491-064-669. What is happening in the news?
So a warning, this news contains references to violent behavior. But Lawson, on Tuesday, we reported about a stabbing perpetrated by a 16-year-old in Sydney Southwest against Bishop Mar Murray Emmanuel from the Assyrian Orthodox Church during a church service that was being live-streamed. We now have the information that the attacker identified himself as a Muslim. It has been reported by The Australian that community leaders and other fellow young Muslims were already concerned with the extreme religious views that that young man was holding himself. Wow. They claimed that he was spending, and I quote, too much time online, particularly consuming radical and extremist content that do not reflect the views of mainstream Islam. Now, you might remember that when we reported this news on Tuesday last month, what did we talk about? We talk about, what was the origin of the attack?
Yeah, absolutely. Right? I was like, is this gang related? Is this, like, what is the deal? But yeah, this is very worrying.
And we said how murderous intents, according to Jesus, they come from the heart, and the heart is fed by the eyes and by the things that we listen and we see and we hear. So we made an appeal to say, where is this coming from? Very, very probably from what this young man has been consuming online. And we made a passionate appeal to parents to say, hey, what are your children listening and hearing and seeing online? We're going to be talking a little bit more about that, Lawson. But to leave a minor, this is my thoughts here, okay? To leave a minor to freely use the internet before they can have discernment is the equivalent of abandoning a child on a street corner.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree.
You just do not know what kind of content they are being exposed to. And chances are that they will be exposed to harmful content because this is how social media work. Once you start seeing one kind of content, the algorithm starts feeding you that exact same kind of content over and over again, particularly on networks such as TikTok. Well, The New South Wales police had labeled that attack terror-related.
Yeah,
and this was the first time since 2017.
Yeah,
when the New South Wales counter-terrorism team foiled an Islamic State attempt to hijack, bomb, and create a chemical weapon out of an airplane departing from Sydney Airport towards Abu Dhabi in July of that year. There's an audio message circulating among the Muslim community identifying the 16-year-old and lamenting how the teenager's mind had been, and I quote, poisoned by a monster who has the radical Daesh mentality. Daesh is what we also call ISIS. Yep. So he has been consuming content produced by a Daesh mentality person. Asia director, the Australian intelligence agency, Mike Burgess, said that the attack appeared to be religiously motivated, and New South Wales Premier Chris Minns is talking about bringing a knife law reform, similar to the one in Queensland.
Interesting.
You know, in Queensland, you were not allowed to buy knives if you are underage, if you're a minor. Now, this is something. Perhaps this is better than nothing. But until I think we realize that these things happen, not because we need better laws, but because we need a transformation of hearts, but because we need to talk about what our children are consuming, no laws will perfectly prevent crimes from happening.
Yeah.
This is what, it's not about, you know, okay, something wrong happened. Okay, let's do a stronger law. Okay, that might help. But unless we change the human heart, unless we change the condition of the human heart first, all of the other measures will be palliative.
Yeah, and it seems as though this isn't obviously it's a knife crime, but this is a religiously motivated. It's a religiously motivated crime of terror. Whether he had the ability to buy a knife, you know, from the store or take one out of the kitchen drawer at home, like. It really, the reality is, as you said, being exposed to harmful content online without discernment and not having checks and balances to be able to overcome that. And it's unfortunate that these things are happening. But I think that this story should be a cautionary tale for parents. I'm not saying it's good that this happened, but I think it highlights and it should motivate us to say, whether we're parents or overseers or guardians, to say, hey, what am I enabling and allowing my kid to consume? I know for me, I grew up I was born in 98. I had an iPhone in year seven. Like, I was that first generation that was like getting smartphones, and like immediately, like, where there's a Wi-Fi connection, then you have I was laying in my bed at home at 12, 13, and I didn't have to go to the family computer. Like, I could just lay in my bed and like past my bedtime, just sit on my phone and just like watch content. Like, that was the thing that my generation was like the first to really be enabled to do. And now we're seeing run on and adverse effects of that. And I know, like, the things that I was exposed to during that time, I'm like, man, I wish that there was that safety net. I wish that there was some parental insight. Maybe I wouldn't have liked it at the time. I liked having that freedom. But,
you know, there's a man that says, not knowing is the new intelligence. Because there's so much junk out there that not being exposed to it actually keeps our mind true to the pole.
Yeah,
that we were talking about here. Now, the Australian National Imams Council called the attacks horrifying and urged its community to stay calm and work together. That message was echoed by other leaders and organizations of the Islamic faith. Reports are that this 16-year-old boy had been warned to stay away from certain Islamic centers already in Sydney, because they were concerned of his extremist and radical views. Now, one person that spoke in anonymity to the Australian said that they know the family. They believe that the boy's parents are good people, that they themselves are horrified. They're in shock. Apparently, the boy, according to that source, the boy's father is a taxi driver, and he had been fainting throughout the day. He could just not believe what happened. But I just wanted to share one verse here, one Bible verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says here, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. This is the counsel from the scriptures to young people and old people alike, that our brains were not made for filthiness. Our brains were not made for junk. They were not made for intolerance. They were made for pure and good and noble things. And we should occupy ourselves with those things, because we are transformed by what we consume.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And we have come to our interview, but before we interview Jeremy Dixon Lawson, do you have another quiz to our listeners?
Right. Of course I do. Guys, this is your final opportunities to get in for the
quiz
draw.
We are approaching the end.
Because we're spinning the wheel today.
The end of times.
That's right.
The end of times to get a amazing book.
There's some drama in the studio this morning. Okay, here we go. What city did David have men climb up a water well to capture? What city did David have men climb up a water well to capture? I love these particular stories in the book. book of, you know, we're talking about like 1st, 2nd Samuel here, where they're doing military operations. It's really, really interesting. Again, this is one of them, one story of that. What city did David have men climb up a water well to capture? 0491-064-669. Of course, our prizes for this week, Sister in Arms and As Bright as the Stars.
That is a tough one. That is a tough one question.
Yeah, that is hard. That's pretty hard.
That is hard. Let's give him some tips. What about that?
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so we want to know the name of the city. It would later be known as Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But before Jerusalem, it had a different name.
Yeah.
What was the name of that city? That is the city that we're talking about in that quiz here. And I think that that is enough.
Absolutely. Right? Hey, 0491-064-669. And if you don't know the answer, I don't know, just send in whatever.
Send it just your best guess.
Just text your best guess.
Just tell us how your day's going. Just don't say Kurumbong or Newcastle or something that is not very near to the
ancient Middle East. Pick somewhere in the Middle East.
Somewhere there.
Yeah.
Just use your biblical, geographical skills here.
Use that big brain.
Yeah. But now it's time for us to get some heartwarming and tummy-warming recipes here. I have with me in the line nobody less than Jeremy Dixon, restaurateur, chef, author, and our good friend. Jeremy, welcome to the show. Good morning to you.
Hello, great to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, Jeremy, people are asking the question, what can we cook now that it's getting chilly, particularly in the evenings? Something that is healthy, something that is easy to make, and something that really fills our hearts. Do you have any suggestions to give us today?
Well, at my cafes, when you come to my cafes, we have a big salad bar. And at the end, we have two big, like a red and a yellow pot.
We call them
hot pots.
Okay.
And these are basically and they're so easy to make. These are like your one dish wonders. Basically, you have a big pot, and you just keep firing stuff in, and you end up with like a beautiful curry, a dal, a stew, a casserole, whatever you want to call it, or chowder. And basically, you can serve it on rice or quinoa, and it makes a really, really filling meal, very warm, very wholesome, and so easy to make. And that's probably one of our star dishes that we have. And we have at the cafe, we actually change them every single day. Mm-hmm. And through my cookbooks, there's probably a couple of hundred different hot pot recipes that we call them. I'd like to share a couple of them with you today. I could probably share with them all, go for hours, but I'll probably only have time to share a handful.
Well, let's definitely share a handful. I love hot pots, and I love whatever is one pot solutions that minimize how much dishes we'll be washing afterwards. I'm already a fan, number one. So tell us a little bit about what is the first recipe that you can share with our listener this morning.
Well, I've got so many, but I suppose one that's always really popular are our dals. Through my books, there's quite a few dal recipes. One that's really nice is a dal aloo gobi, and that basically means potato. So effectively what you do is you have to pre-cook some potatoes. This one does have an extra dish, so you have to kind of pre-roast or pre-boil some potatoes. And then what you do is you basically start a big pot. And then you fire in, and they all start off in a similar way. You put in some oil, put in some onions, some garlic, some ginger. This one has some red capsicum in as well. This one also has some brown or yellow mustard seeds and some cumin seeds to kind of give it a bit of that Indian flavor.
Oh,
you
that's
kind of
right.
Put them into your,
just a quick question. Do you throw the mustard seeds whole, or do you mash them first, you grind them, or you just buy them in powder? What do you do with them?
So mustard seeds, you just buy them as in whole. You just buy them in a packet as mustard seeds. So they're not ground or anything. You throw them in whole.
Okay.
And when they kind of cook with the oil, they kind of explode and they kind of burst open and the flavor comes out. So you kind of need them to kind of cook for a little bit where they kind of burst open and kind of crack.
I have to try that. I didn't know.
Yeah, so it's quite, they kind of pop around, so you kind of going to want to make sure you don't. They're not like popcorn or anything, but they do pop a little bit in the bottom of the pot. So you just basically did that kind of saute around, keep it stirring, don't let it burn for probably around about, probably 5 or 6 minutes until the onion's nice and soft and the spices are kind of mixing with things.
Yes, that smell is coming out.
Yes, exactly. You want to make sure you're probably quite a heavy base pot or a pan. And again, you can use a frying pan, you can use a big cast iron pot or even just a normal pot. But obviously, you can invest in like a nice, one of those beautiful, nice big red Le Creuset, cast iron pots.
Yes.
They're a real joy to cook in. But you can cook in anything. But you just need to keep an eye on it, make sure it doesn't burn. So once you've kind of got that base there, you throw in one cup of red lentils, which, as you know, are my favourite lentils because they just cook so quickly.
I love them too. They're amazing.
And 4 cups of boiling water. And when you kind of start the dish, you want to, if you're going to be using water, you want to get the jug on and boil it as you start the onions, so that when you come to put the water in, you basically 5 minutes ahead. You don't have to wait for the dish to spend 5 minutes kind of heating up before it's boiling. So you put in four cups of boiling water, then put in some little bit of sweetness, and you let that, like date puree or honey, and let that kind of simmer for probably about 15 to 20 minutes. And by simmering, that just means so it's kind of just bubbling. So you want to make sure it's cooking and it's just bubbling. So you kind of turn it down so it's at that level. You don't, you're not over bubbling and it's going to burn things, but just so it's just bubbling.
Okay, just 1 second. You said then, that to add some sweeteners.
Yes, yep. So this one has a bit of sweetener in it. Some of the savoury dishes just have a little bit of sweetness just to knock back. For example, the mustard seeds can have kind of like a little bit, some coriander powder as well. So you have a little bit of sweetness kind of just sometimes just takes the edge off some of the spices that can be kind of quite harsh.
Oh, yes. So, okay. It helps to soften the dish overall, particularly the bitterness that might occur.
Exactly. And you're not turning into a dessert or anything, but it just kind of softens it a bit. particularly using tomatoes. Yeah. Tomatoes are quite acidic as well.
Okay.
So usually when using tomatoes and kind of one of these dishes, you probably want to add a little bit of sweetener just to kind of offset that a little bit.
Okay, so there's a great tip here. If you add a little bit of sweeteners, it can tame down a little bit of the acidity and bitterness that you potentially may encounter in some dishes. Wonderful.
And often when you kind of, you taste, and one of the big things I recommend is when you're doing any dish yourself, before you serve it, just kind of taste it and just kind of think, what's the sweetness like? What's the acidity like? What's the spiciness like? What's the saltiness like? Can I taste all those things evenly? Is there any kind of one flavor coming out too strongly? Or whatever it is, and you can adjust that by, pretty much things like, salt, or a sweetener, or chili, or something like that. So just to kind of finish the dish off.
Okay, look, I really hope that our listener is taking notes. If you're not taking notes, if you're driving, stop your car on the side, take notes, because this is worth 1,000, radio shows. Good food for your family, healthy food, interesting food, easy to make food. This is life, everyone. Jeremy, go ahead. I am loving this.
Well, you can buy it. This is in the Revive Cafe Cookbook 4, this recipe. It's 5, sorry. Revive Cafe Cookbook 5.
Revive Cookbook, yes, 5. Okay.
Yep. So once that's kind of finished, you want to add salt at the end. So a teaspoon of salt in there, just kind of add saltiness. You generally don't add salt before you cook lentils. Everyone says that it basically stops lentils cooking. I've never seen anything scientific to prove that, but I do that anyway, because I would one day like to prove it either way, that you do about the salt lentils thing. But anyway, I add the salt at the end.
At the end, okay.
For this one here, I add a little bit of sweet chili sauce. And also, just to give it a little bit of extra creaminess, I add some cashew cream. So that's just blending up half a cup of raw cashew nuts with a cup of cold water. So putting that in the blender and blending it till it's really smooth, and then pouring it in. You could also probably stir in some cashew butter as well.
Yum.
And that just kind of just stirring in a little bit of creaminess at the end gives it an extra edge as well. So do that, and then basically serve that with brown rice. And it's also really nice to serve something green on the top of these kind of yellow dishes.
Yes.
While the red lentils end up going kind of browny, kind of yellowy.
Like what, for example? You want coriander, parsley?
Coriander, parsley, just something on the top just to break it up. Also quite like also adding some finely chopped red onion to the top of a dish like this. Just adds a little bit of extra colour. And also a bit of extra kind of zing when you're eating it as well. So that's another one of my latest favorite things to add to the top of it, is just to kind of add that extra X factor.
I am so
make sure when you're serving it, or putting it on the table, making sure making sure it looks visually appealing.
Well, you're just making the whole studio salivate here, Jeremy, but I appreciate that. Now, question for you is, can we reserve and save that recipe for later in terms of, are we allowed to freeze them? Do they freeze well? Or do we just keep it in the fridge? Because I'm thinking about batch cooking them.
Yeah, exactly. So I very encourage you, batch cook, do a 2, 3, 4 times recipe, cook a big lot up. It'll probably keep in the fridge for about 2 or 3 days if you put it in straight away into the fridge. Mm-hmm. And then if in the freezer, you get it freeze really well, so it'll probably keep indefinitely in the freezer.
Wonderful. So you come home, you're tired, and you just want something that will embrace you. You don't want to spend a lot of time. And lo and behold, you open the freezer, and that magical recipe just springs up. You just heat that up. And you're good to go.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
We actually sell We actually sell our meals frozen in New Zealand, so people can buy them. We send them frozen.
Jealous. Have to ship them to Australia. Them out.
Yeah, unfortunately, it would probably cost about $100, $200 worth of freight, but anyway.
All right. Well, so this is recipe number one. We still have 4 minutes. What is recipe number two? Because this is great.
Well, I had about six to share with you today, so I have to. Perhaps I'll do them really quickly so I can fit some more in.
Okay, let's go.
One really good one is a chili con harbour, which is like chili con carne, but we use beans rather than meat. And this is just making your own kind of bean, kind of Mexican bean mix. And obviously, you start off with the same base: onions, garlic, red capsicum, and a little bit of red chili diced finely. And I suppose don't be too scared of using chilies. Chilies are not always, you know, a million Scoville units, you know, Carolina Reapers, you know. There are a lot of chilies around that are actually quite mild and add a beautiful flavour to a dish without getting too hot. So you can find some nice mild chilies around that have got a beautiful flavour. Smoked paprika, chopped tomatoes, tomato paste, and that will give a really nice, rich, tomatoey kind of a flavour to it as well. Add some red kidney beans, salt, so again, some date puree to sweeten to kind of balance out that sweetness. And you get yourself a really nice, and the kind of the fried caps, the capsicum with smoked paprika with tomato paste gives a really nice, beautiful, rich bean, Mexican bean dish. And you can garnish it with like some cashew cream, just sprinkle it over the top, some fresh chilies that are finely diced, and some fresh coriander is really good as well. And that's from cookbook number four.
All right, taking notes here. So you add fried capsicum and tomato paste to the beginning of it.
Yeah, so basically an initial onion, garlic, you basically, with the onions and the capsicum, that capsicum fried up at the beginning gives a really nice base to that.
Does it matter what kind of color of capsicum?
This one I just use red, but no, it doesn't matter. Okay. It's pretty fine. They just had a really nice flavor.
All right, bringing on next one. Next idea.
Indonesian sayur lodeh, which is like an Indonesian, normally a chicken dish. This is from Cookbook 2, and this is amazing. So basically you take some firm tofu, and you basically put it in the freezer, or any tofu, put it in the freezer for a couple of days, then bring it out and rip it apart. And frozen tofu kind of gets a texture like chicken. So you kind of don't chop it, kind of rip it apart into kind of shreds. And then you start your base with onion, oil, ginger, garlic, some lemongrass, some peanut butter, some Thai red curry paste, and some water. So you've got a really flavoursome mix to start with. Then throw in some salt, some date puree, some white cabbage, some pumpkin, and you basically just cook it up as like a nice stew of that pumpkin and that cabbage, and everything kind of melt together. Throw in the tofu at the end as well, some coconut cream, some shredded coconut, and some green beans. Again, anything green you want to throw in at the end so it kind of stays that greenness and freshness. So this is just a really delicious kind of Thai/Indonesian mix with a nice tofu, and then sprinkle on the top some finely roasted chopped peanuts with some coriander, and it's just and with that pumpkin coming through for sweetness, it's just a really lovely, lovely tofu dish. Indonesian sayur lodeh.
So do you saute the tofu, or you throw it? Do you add water to that as well, or is it just more like a curry?
No, it's just a curry. Basically, so there's water in that, so it's kind of a watery curry. And you add the tofu at the end, kind of just stir it through.
At the end,
and it kind of soaks up those flavors.
Wow, that's amazing. This is something that I believe if you're trying to impress your guests, this dish will not disappoint. We have only 20 seconds left. Do you have a last word to our listener, Jeremy?
Buy my cookbooks and try my hot pots, and you will just change your life.
Fantastic. We recommend them.
Yep.
Yes, we recommend your books all the time. We give them as prizes here. We cannot recommend it enough. Revive Cafe cookbooks, amazing recipes that you can cook under 30 minutes. They are healthy. They are delicious. They are economical. And they are sure to please the crowd. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you next month with new recipes for May.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.